Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Paul Gant, and for the next hour, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And, of course, you will get a heavy dose of my opinion. If you have an opinion, the number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgant. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgant. And you can send email messages to the show at goforward.gant@gmail.com. That's goforward.gant@gmail.com. And you can follow the show on Twitter at goforwardgant. That's goforwardgant, where you can follow us on Twitter and on Facebook at goforward as well. Hope everybody's having a great day. Beautiful Saturday afternoon on the East Coast. Beautiful, crisp fall day here on the East Coast. And I hope you're enjoying it as much as I am. I want to start in the NBA. Last night, you had the New Orleans Hornets against the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat, the big three. Everybody's talking about this team. This team has been, of late, has been blowing people out. They've been doing their thing. And if you look at everything, this is a Heat team that seems to be getting it done, and everybody's deferring to one another. Everybody is setting everybody up, and everybody seems to be successful so far to this point. But last night they ran into the New Orleans Hornets, who are right now 4-0. And after last night, they were 4-0 going into the game, and after last night's game, are now 5-0. And they got a big game out of Emeka Okafor, 26-13, and Chris Paul doing the Chris Paul type thing, 13 points and 19 assists. And if you look at it there, I mean, this was a big test for this New Orleans team. It's early in the year, obviously, but this was a big test for this team to show how good this team truly is. And they came back, they showed up, and they responded. They responded, and they showed the league that, you know what, we're coming out here, and we're going to prove that we are also a decent basketball team, and we're going to do our thing. And they came out, and they did their thing, and they got the W. And they've been playing some good, meaning New Orleans Hornets, they've been playing some good basketball right now. And they're 5-0, and they won an impressive game last night and beaten the Miami Heat. And so right now they're 5-0. So if you look at it, we're still early. Lakers are undefeated as well. And you got the New Orleans Hornets are undefeated, and the team that took a step back last year, and that was mainly because of the injuries. Chris Paul missed an extended amount of time. So if you look at that situation, you're saying the team, you would expect that team to struggle. So right now they're not struggling. Right now they're playing some good basketball. Right now they are 5-0, and I mean, it's still early, but you have to see that possibly that this Hornet ball club is back and they're ready to contend here in the Western Conference. But again, it's still early, and we're only through the first week of the season. But also I want to focus on this today. And throughout this week, there's been a lot of talk of disrespect, a lot of talk of people getting their feelings hurt, and ultimately, in the course of all these things happening, people ultimately losing their jobs or being taken out in key situations. I want to start with Donovan McNabb and that whole deal. Donovan, as you know, was taken out before the two-minute drill for the Lions, for the Redskins, excuse me. They were down 31-25. They had an opportunity, under 2 minutes left, no timeouts. They had to get down the length of the field to score. They needed a touchdown, so they had to go down the length of the field. And Mike Shanahan did, in a lot of ways, the unthinkable. He pulled Donovan McNabb. He pulled him, and he took him out the game and brought in Rex Grossman to run the two-minute drill. Very disrespectful. Very disrespectful. And something that you don't do to a veteran. But he did it. He did it. And he was taken out of the game. Randy Moss, another guy who had a situation apparently earlier in the week, last week, he disrespected one of the local carers who comes in and gives food to the team, called the food nasty and the like. Also disrespected Brad Childress and disrespected the game plan in some respect. And disrespected the Minnesota Vikings team by basically the way he praised the Patriots team and also the criticism of Childress. If you look at these two situations, these are signs of disrespect and people not really liking being disrespected and disrespect just flooding football this past week. I mean, it was just a week of disrespect. It was just a week of disrespect where everybody felt disrespected. And Donovan didn't come out and say he felt disrespected. And Moss really didn't come out and say he felt disrespected. But there was disrespect this week in the National Football League. And my question is, in terms of disrespect, how would you feel if you were in those situations? How would you feel if you were at your job and a critical project came up and they brought in the next guy to do it? How would you feel? Would you feel slighted? Would you feel disrespected? Or what if you knew your competition well? You had a job and you know your competition. You work at Coke and you know that Pepsi likes to do this, that, and the third. And you inform your bosses at Coke that Pepsi does this, that, and the third, and your bosses don't listen to you, and the same things that you said happened. Like, how would you feel? Would you feel disrespected? So we want to talk about disrespect today, and disrespect has flooded the NFL this week. And if you look at disrespect and the lack of respect, disrespect, and so on and so forth, if you look at those things, how would you feel if you were one of those guys? How would you feel if you were Randy Moss? How would you feel if you were Donovan McNabb? How would you feel? So we want to put you in the shoes of those particular athletes. So we'll talk about that as well. Also, as we look around the National Football League, Michael Vick returns as the starting quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles. Vick has missed the past 3 weeks with a rib injury. He's back. He's healed. He's healthy. And as he would put it, he's 100%. So if you look at this situation with Michael Vick and the Philadelphia Eagles as they go on to face the Indianapolis Colts, which is going to be a tough test for this ball club. But if you look at the Eagles right now, you have a team, in my opinion, with Michael Vick at the helm, a team that has an opportunity to win the NFC East. And if you look at the NFC East and look at what's going on there, right now you have the Giants on top at 5-2. But I look at the Giants and I see some things there that I like. I like the running game. I like those young wide receivers. I like the defensive line. I like that defense. I like a lot of things I see on that side of the football, both sides of the football, actually, in terms of the wideouts, the running backs, and the defensive line. I like what I see there with the Giants. But I'm not completely sold on this team. Eli Manning is throwing some interceptions right now for this team. He's a guy he's some turnovers there. Definitely some turnovers going on with Eli. And if you look at that has to be a little concerning. That definitely has to be concerning that your quarterback is turning it over. And you don't want to see your quarterback turn it over because ultimately that's going to cost you some football games right now, so you don't want that. I mean, right now he has 14 touchdowns and 11 interceptions. 11 interceptions is high. That's a lot of interceptions at the midpoint of the season. So if you look at actually a little more than the midpoint, a little less than the midpoint, excuse me, because they got 9 more games left. So if you look at that, that's a little concerning. So I look at this New York Giants team, and I'm saying to myself that I'm not afraid of this team, and I don't think they're unbeatable. And so I don't think the NFC East, in my opinion, that there is an opportunity there for the Eagles to ultimately win that particular division. There is an opportunity there. There is an opportunity there. And the Giants travel to Seattle, which is a tough place to play. Seattle is a tough place to play. So if you look at that situation and look at the Giants traveling to Seattle, there's an opportunity for them to lose. And you have the Colts right now who are a little banged up, especially without their key tight end, Dallas Clark, who was going to be going for the season. But if you look at the Colts, and they're beatable. They're not a great team on the road, and they're a team that's beatable at home. And the Eagles do have them at home tomorrow at the rink. And overall, and if you look at that situation and look at this overall, I mean, the NFC as a whole is kind of up for grabs. The NFC is kind of up for grabs if you look at it. Green Bay is 5-3. They haven't been playing great football. Atlanta's 5-2, a team that the Eagles have beaten, a team that has proven to be vulnerable, a team that you have some questions there. You have questions about a lot of teams in the NFC. So if you look at the NFC, it's wide open, and there's an opportunity there for any team that they can actually step up and put some things together to actually get on to the Super Bowl. But let's take a caller. Hello, you're on Go For It.
Yeah, I want to ask you a quick question. I noticed that the line this week for the Eagles-Colts game, the Eagles are given 3.5 points. But if you look at the power rankings, the Colts are 4 and the Eagles are somewhere around 11 or 12. Do you think that contributes to the fact that Vic's back and how well he's done in the first half and the respect that he's finally getting?
I think it has something to do with that, but also I think it has something to do with the Colts on the road. Right now they're 2-2 on the road, so there's some vulnerability on the road. And also you have to look at this. They're coming off a big Monday night victory and short week, and a team coming off those victories tends to struggle a little bit going into Sunday, going into the following Sunday. So if I look at that, and I'm saying I'm surprised that the Eagles are favored to win this game. I'm shocked. Because
if you look at do you know that Andy Reid is 11-0 after a bye week?
Correct, and then that's something else that I failed to mention, but you mentioned it, and that is very true, that Andy Reid has been great and the Eagles have been great coming off the bye. But I look at this Colts team, and I think they are a better football team than the Eagles.
I agree.
Peyton Manning has had some pretty good success against the Eagles in recent years. So I look at that, and I'm saying maybe the Eagles will win the game, and it's a winnable game. But I can't – if I'm a betting man, I'm not putting my money that the Eagles will win this football game. I think that's a game they could win. I'm not sure they actually will win it.
Do you think that Vic's back to 100%, or do you think they're just saying that? Do you think he really is? If he has to take a shot on his ribs, can he take it?
He missed about 4 weeks, and he had the bye week. So I think he's ready. I think he's ready. I think he's healthy. And hopefully, if you're a big Eagles fan, if you're a fan of Michael Vick, then hopefully he will not take those type of hits, the hit that he took against the Redskins that ultimately put him on the shelf for a little bit. So hopefully, if Michael Vick, and he's come out and said that, you know, he's going to try to get to the ground and try not to take those type of hits. But I thought it was a situation where when he took that hit, where he smelt the goal line, he smelt the touchdown, and he just lowered his head and just – it was just natural. It's just natural instincts for him. But he's got to guard against that, and he's got to learn how to get to the ground.
Sure, sure. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Yes, and definitely a good point that he brings up with Andy Reid being 11-0 after the bye. But if you look at this football game now, you have a situation with the Eagles and the Colts coming up. Yeah, you would figure the Eagles do have some an advantage being at home. Definitely, that is always an advantage, being at home. But if you look at this particular football game, and you look at these two teams now, you have a Colts team who came off a 30-17 victory over the Houston Texans, and a team that is 5-2 in first place in the AFC South. So if you look at this Colts team, you're looking at a team that, with Peyton Manning, obviously, he's an issue. He's a problem anytime you go against a Peyton Manning. It's a problem. But it's a team that I mentioned before. It's struggling right now with some injuries. You had Dallas Clark, who was on IR with a wrist injury. You have Austin Collie, who was out and could miss. Well, he's not out officially, but he could miss his second straight game. He has a hand injury. Also, Joseph Addai, he has a shoulder situation going on there. And then you had the third string of Mike Hart, third string running back Mike Hart, who had an ankle injury. So you have a team that's a little banged up right now. You have an opportunity there. There's definitely an opportunity for the Colts, for the Eagles, excuse me, to win this football game with these injuries right now with the Colts. So maybe if you're an Eagles fan, maybe the Eagles have found this team and are playing this team at the right time. Maybe this is the right time to play this Colts team. And so you definitely want to play. If you're going to play the Colts, you definitely want to play them at this time with these injuries. You want to play them at this time with their injuries. So the Eagles are definitely benefiting here by getting the Colts at this time. And so if you're an Eagle fan, you should be pretty excited and happy about that. And ultimately, I think with Michael Vick in the fold, you have an opportunity now with this team. You have a quarterback who has played well, who has done a lot of great things, and who has been very effective in leading this offense. So you got to be very excited if you're an Eagle fan right now for this opportunity. Granted, you are playing the Colts, a very good team, a very good team. But you may be getting them at the right time. You may be getting them at the right time. So it's definitely something you have to look at there as the Eagles go on and play the Colts tomorrow at the Link. And the Eagles are the favorite there, 3.5 points. But I look at it as the way Peyton Manning has played against the Eagles in recent years. He's really played well against this team. I mean, he's really put up some numbers. And the games haven't really been close when these two teams have played of late. So if I look at that situation, I put all that together, what has changed? Granted, you have those injuries on the Colts side, but you still have Peyton Manning. And you have a defense that is worse. The Eagles' defense is not as good as it's been in years, in past years. It's not as good as it's been in past years. So if you look at that, you're saying to yourself, yes, what's changed? And then what makes you think that the Eagles will be able to stop Peyton Manning? They haven't stopped him in the past with better personnel. So what changes now? What changes now? So if you have any thoughts on these upcoming games, upcoming week of NFL football, which is going to be an exciting week as always, and let's be honest, football is king. Football is king, and there's definitely going to be some interesting matchups coming up this weekend, and should be definitely good to get your thoughts on that. And I'm looking at Arizona and Minnesota and the Vikings. A lot of things going on with the Randy Moss situation. Moss being waived this week by the Minnesota Vikings. And if you look at all that, with Randy Moss being waived, and you look at a team right now with Brett Favre suffering through all these injuries, getting banged up and not playing top-notch football, you see a team that maybe is a team that's definitely going to taking a step back, and a team that I predicted in the offseason that would take a step back in this Viking ball club. A lot of turmoil right now. You had this whole situation with Favre and Childress, and now you have a situation with Moss. And this is a winnable game against the Cardinals, who are not a really good football team. And this is a game hopefully they can get back on track with if you're a Vikings fan. But if you look at it, I mean, Brett Favre, maybe it's time to sit him down and just let all these injuries that he has, the, the ankle, the elbow, all let all these things just heal up, and you know, maybe he'll be right as the season progresses. Because of, like I said before, in looking at the standings here in the National Football League, especially in looking in the NFC, if you look at the NFC standings, there is not a team that you can say is definitively better than anybody in this conference. And right now, the Vikings are 2.5 games behind the Green Bay Packers. But the Green Bay Packers haven't been playing great football. So there is an opportunity right now for the Vikings. If they can get this thing right, they have the talent on the defense to get this thing right. And if they can get Sidney Rice, did practice with the ball club, and Rice, who has been out the whole year, there may be an opportunity for him to come back in the next few weeks. So if you get him back, you solidify the wide receiving core, the core that was there last year for Brett Favre. You get him back, and you get Adrian Peterson rolling, and you get that defense playing the way it played last year and the way that it's capable of playing, the Vikings do have an opportunity. I just don't know how much Brett Favre has left in him, because I was a guy who believes, and who I've seen throughout this year, that Brett Favre is acting his age. He's 41 years old, folks. He's 41 years old. He's not a young man. He's not a young man anymore. This is a young, he's 41 years old. And at some point, this is a young man's game. This is a young man's game. And at some point, he will start acting his age. He's got to start acting his age. It's just nature. It's just the way it is. And Brett Favre is acting his age right now. He's not playing good football. He's definitely struggled this year. And if you look at him, 7 touchdowns for Favre. But, let's go to the negative. 11 interceptions. And he's putting the ball on the turf, fumble-wise as well. He's fumbling the football as well. So if you look at all these things, I mean, you're not too optimistic at this point if you're a Viking fan. You're not really too optimistic. And I'm looking at this, and I just don't know. And I just can't see Brett Favre turning this thing around. I just don't see it happening. I don't see it happening. But I will say, if Favre can get right, I don't see it happen, but there's definitely a possibility. He has proven it. This is Brett Favre, arguably the greatest quarterback to play this game. Arguably. I'm not saying he is, because I don't think he is. But if you look at this guy and look at this situation and look at the NFC as a whole, you look at this conference, there are opportunities. There are opportunities. You got Chicago, who is in second place in that division at 4-3, and a team that's struggled of late. They're struggling right now. Lost 2 in a row. Jay Cutler struggling right now. So there's opportunities there. There is opportunities there for Minnesota if they can get this thing right. If they can get this thing right, Brett Favre can get this thing right. Defensively, if they can get this thing right, they could the division may be a little off, but you never know. You never know. But they can definitely sneak into the playoffs as a wild card. If they can do that, there is definitely an opportunity here. There is opportunities here. But the key is Brett Favre has to get right. The defense has to get right. And if these things can come together, then you have a situation with the Vikings where they could be a team that could sneak into the playoffs and possibly make a run and possibly get back. But possibly is the word. It's the key word, possibly. But I don't see it happening. I don't see it happening. And I'll be shocked if it did happen. If it did happen, I'd be shocked. And I want to go back to the Randy Moss thing for a second here. There is a report now that Zeke Wolf, the owner of the Minnesota Vikings, was very agitated, very upset, and very angry that Brad Childress waived Randy Moss. He was a little upset by it. And sources are saying that he contemplated firing Brad Childress because of it. He contemplated firing Brad Childress because of Childress's decision to cut Randy Moss and waive Randy Moss. And so if you look at this whole situation, I mean, it just kind of came out of nowhere. The whole situation came out of nowhere, and it was weird. You started hearing the rumblings, hey, Randy Moss got waived. You're hearing the rumblings. And when it actually happened, I was shocked. I mean, you gave up a third-round draft pick for this guy. And he was a guy who was going to fill a need for you. He was going to fill that need for you, fill that void that was missing with Sidney Rice not being there. But you would get the sense that, I mean, Randy Moss has been there before. And you would think everyone would know how to deal with this guy. You would think that people were having an idea on how to deal with Randy Moss. You would think. Call me stupid. But I would think you would know how to deal with this guy. Now, maybe to me, maybe it's just a situation where maybe they feel like the guy, from what he can contribute on the field, maybe it's just not worth dealing with him off the field. Dealing with the off-the-field issues that may come with Randy Moss. So, I mean, it's just a weird story. It was weird how it all came down. And, I mean, I just think with a guy like Randy Moss, just on paper, you have a guy who could stretch the field, a guy who can open things up for other players, like a Percy Harvin, who was very successful when Moss was there. I mean, Percy Harvin played some good football when Randy Moss was in the fold. And it really opens things up for Percy. So you figure that, you would think that it would be enough to keep this guy. Because you gave up a lot for him. You really did. You really gave up a lot for him. I mean, Percy Harvin last week, 6 receptions, 104 yards for the Vikings. And so, I mean, that was last week against the Patriots. Then you have Harvin who came back again the week before, 5 receptions, 65 yards, but a lot more involved in the offense. And so, I mean, things were opened up for him with Randy Moss there. Things opened up for him. So, I mean, you would think that would be enough for the Vikings to try to work this thing out and try to remedy whatever the problem was, talk about it, and ultimately keep Randy Moss on the roster. But maybe there's, I said on Wednesday, maybe there's some things that we just don't know about that is going on behind the scenes. Maybe there's some things that we just don't know. Maybe there's more to this story. Because it's kind of odd that you cut the talent of Randy Moss. You cut a guy like Randy Moss, a guy who was in need for you. It's kind of odd that you cut him. And as of right now, if you look at the Vikings and their roster, in terms of wide receivers, I mean, you become a little thin there. He definitely become a little thin with Randy Moss out. He definitely become a little thin. I mean, you have Greg Lewis and Hank Basket. And now Bernard Berrien becomes a starter again, opposite Percy Harvin. So Moss is a need. You need a Moss there. But maybe, hey, we got Sidney Rice coming back in maybe the next 2-3 weeks. And this guy, Randy Moss, this guy's just not worth it. He's just not worth it. He's not worth the hassle. He's not worth the headache. He's not worth none of it. So maybe that was the thinking. by Brad Childress. Maybe that was his thinking. I don't know. But it was kind of odd the way that whole thing went down. Kind of odd. The numbers to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgant. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgant. And you can send email messages to the show at goforward.gant@gmail.com. That's goforward.gant@gmail.com. We're expected to be joined by actor Darren Brooks, who plays Alex Moran on the Spike TV hit Blue Mountain State. And so it should be interesting to get Alex Moran, his character. It should be interesting to get Darren's take on the show and what it's like to play a football player as a whole. So it definitely should be interesting to get his take on that subject. I want to go back to the NBA now for a second. Gilbert Arenas made his return last night for the Washington Wizards. A little rusty, but he did score 18 points. Came off the bench for the Wizards. If you look at it in that situation with Gilbert, at some point, you're figuring with John Wall in the mix, who now has become the face of the franchise in a lot of ways, with John Wall in the mix, you're thinking at some point, there will be a trade of Gilbert Arenas. There definitely will be a trade of Gilbert Arenas, you would think, at some point. So, I mean, you figure that. Gilbert's there for a time, and ultimately they will move him on. John Wall, the sensational rookie out of Kentucky, had a great game the other night against the Philadelphia 76ers. 29 points, 11 assists, 9 steals, almost messed around and had a triple-double. So you look at John Wall, he's the face of that franchise. He's the guy that's going to lead this team, meaning the Washington Wizards, to wherever they want to go. And it may not happen. Obviously, it's not going to happen this year. It's not a good basketball team. So it's not going to happen this year. But it's going to happen. This is John Wall's team. And so you have Gilbert Arenas, who at this point, with the way this team is constructed, it would be best to move him on and see what you can get for this guy. Do I think this guy has some game left in him? Definitely. Definitely Gilbert Arenas still has some game left in him. Definitely has game left. So don't write Gilbert Arenas off. But at this point, is this the right fit for him? And my question is probably not with John Wall there. And with Gilbert and John Wall, you don't know how that thing is going to play out. Gilbert did come off the bench yesterday. And you're wondering if these two actually really could play together on a consistent basis, night in and night out. That's questionable. So with that question, you would think that ultimately – you would think ultimately that the trade would be made of Gilbert Arenas and that he would be moved on by the Wizards. You would think that would happen at some point. And then the keys of the franchise will be officially handed over to Johnny Wall, who has been impressive to this point and a guy that is the face of the franchise of the Washington Wizards and ultimately will be the face of the franchise for years to come. We are now being joined by star of Blue Mountain State, which airs on Spike TV, Darren Brooks. Darren?
Hey. How are you?
Sir?
Good morning,
pretty
man.
Good,
how are you doing?
Good. Good to have you.
Thank you so much.
Now, Darren, you do play on Blue Mountain State, which airs on Spike TV. For those who haven't seen the show, tell them about it.
Well, Blue Mountain State is it's a half-hour comedy, scripted comedy for Spike TV, and I think we're also airing in 39 different countries around the world on, like, MTV Asia and MTV around the world, so it's on different channels. You just got to check your local listings, but it's basically, it's a half-hour comedy about football and college and frat houses and hazing, and, you know, it's in the vein of, like, Animal House or Porky's. I mean, you know, I like to say it's like Van Wilder meets, you know, South Park in a way. but my character is Alex Moran, who is one of the leads of the show, and he's sort of the voice of reason. He's the backup quarterback for the team, but the only reason why he has the talent to be first string, but he just doesn't want the pressure and the responsibility. I mean, he just wants to be in college and get laid and get drunk and have sex and fun and pull pranks on people and all kinds of stuff, you know, without all the responsibility.
So if you look at the Alex Moran character and we look at you, how similar is Alex Moran to Darren Brooks?
Well, I mean, you know, there's truth in everything. I mean, you know, I mean, I bring a little bit of me into it and stuff too, but I mean, I'm not as much of a slacker. I mean, I give like 150%, you know what I mean? Like, I always try and over.
But you are a single guy in Hollywood.
Well, no, I have a lovely girlfriend.
Okay.
I have a very lovely girlfriend. Yeah, but I mean, you know, I had my party days. You know what I mean? I know what that's like, so I kind of draw from those experiences.
Right, and you do play a quarterback on this show. Did you try to model yourself after any NFL player or any player?
You know, to be honest with you, I mean, I'm born and raised in Hawaii, and, you know, my dad used to watch sports all the time, you know what I mean? But, you know, my parents were from California, so when they moved out to California before I was born, and I was kind of just born and raised on this whole surfing thing. But we never, you know, we don't really have any pro teams in Hawaii. So the only teams we would sort of follow, I mean, I didn't. I guess I just sort of half-heartedly followed, you know, the Warriors, you know, University of Hawaii Warriors. But we never really had any pro teams, you know, for baseball, you know, football, anything. So I was never really big into sports. But ever since I moved to LA, I've been getting into it. My roommate's actually from New Haven, Connecticut. So, you know, our team to follow is the Giants.
Okay. So you are, do you follow the Giants?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And Eli's got to step it up, man. He's got to stop throwing interceptions and all kinds of stuff.
And, you know, me being a Philadelphia Eagles fan,
I know exactly.
Not the Giants guy. And,
exactly. I apologize for that.
I'm not sold.
We'll
get back to Blue Mountain for a second. But, Darren, you won a Daytime Emmy for Outstanding Younger Actor as you played Max on Days of Our Lives, which airs on NBC.
Mm-hmm.
Describe the feeling of winning an Emmy.
Oh, man. To be honest with you, it caught me off guard. And, you know, I think my speech is up on YouTube because I swore on national television twice, and then I got the music played on me off stage. So I was just so nervous. I didn't know it was going to happen. It surprised the hell out of me. I had a speech planned in my head in case I won, but I didn't know it was going to happen. And, you know, as soon as they called my name, as soon as I got on stage, I think I said, oh, shit, and you know, that was it. They started playing the music, and, you know, it was pretty wild, though. I mean, it was a great experience, and you know what? I wouldn't have traded anything for the world, but it feels good. It feels good to leave days on that kind of a note, like a high note, you know?
And on going back to Blue Mountain for a second, you guys have had some great ex-football stars on there, Bill Romanowski, Boomer Esiason,
yeah,
Parcells, Dan Patrick. I mean, you guys have had some decent guys on there. Dan Patrick, obviously, not a football player, but he was on the show as well. But how is it seeing those guys and being around those guys on the set?
You know what? Everybody's really cool. You know what I mean? To be honest with you, we've never had a problem with anybody. I mean, you know, even, you know, Denise Richards and Chuck Liddell, they were on this year as well, you know, and everybody, you know, was just really professional. I think some of them were fans of the show, like they've seen the show or they knew what they were sort of getting into with how raunchy the comedy is. But, you know, it's pretty cool. I mean, you know, I didn't really follow those guys too much, but, you know, I heard stories through Ed Marinaro, who knew everybody, you know what I mean? Ed Marinaro, who plays our coach, you know, he knew Romanowski, you know, personally. I think they were friends and stuff like that before he started the show. But Romanowski was great. I mean, you know, he had a great scene that aired in the fingering episode, you know, this past episode, and you know, the coach is introducing him as his brother-in-law and this and that, you know what I mean? And he comes in and he's got a mannequin in his hands and he's just like, a football player has 43 exposed areas while playing and fully suited up. Number one, the eyeballs. And he starts hitting this mannequin in the eyeballs. And he was just like poking him in the eyes. And I was just like, this is great. Like, you know what I mean? It's funny, but it's, you know, it's like, it's Romanowski. I mean, everybody, you know, people always talked about how, you know, how crazy he was when he played the game.
Right.
But you know, it was cool because he was just a down-to-earth guy. You know what I mean?
Right, and Bill Romanowski is definitely a guy who is known for all those things.
Exactly, yeah. I heard the stories.
Now, like you said, you were on Days of Our Lives,
mm-hmm.
and that was a soap opera, of course. And now
yeah.
that you're going to comedy, you're doing comedy, do you prefer comedy more than a soap opera?
You know what? The soap is great. The soap is a great first show for me. You know, everybody at Days of Our Lives, you know, they were fantastic. You know, Gary Tomlin, the executive producer over there, you know, was just, you know, he was just a sweetheart about, you know, letting me get out of my contract to even do Blue Mountain State. You know, and Ken Corday, you know, the owner of the show, you know, both of them let me out of my contract. It's usually unheard of in a soap opera to get out of a contract. And I signed for 3 years and then I re-signed for 2 more years. But by the fourth year, I got this opportunity to go do Blue Mountain State. And, you know, I kept Gary in the loop and, you know, the people over there at Days and, you know, he knew it was a good opportunity for me. He was like, okay, just keep me in the loop while you're doing it and let's do it. But, that experience is, you know, Days was like the best first job an actor can get, I think, because with soap operas, you know, they are literally some of the hardest working actors in the business because we shoot for 12 hours just like everybody else, you know what I mean, 12 hours a day, but we have to shoot it faster, you know, because we're airing, you know, with soap operas, they air every single day, so we have to shoot 6 episodes in 5 days, which are, you know, usually 1 hour episodes, you know, besides Bold and the Beautiful is only a half hour episode, but most soap operas are an hour long episodes. So they have to shoot 6 episodes in 5 days. They have to shoot anywhere from 80 to 100 pages a day. We have to memorize 50 pages of dialogue every day if our story is heavy. You know, we only get 1 or 2 takes and that's it. Like, you know, they don't really take a lot of time. So the fact that, you know, people can win Emmys and people can actually get recognized for their acting talent or whatever in, you know, learning 50 pages of dialogue, knowing where your lights and your camera is, having 1 or 2 takes and that's it, like living, breathing these characters sometimes, you know, is pretty amazing to me. And, you know, taking that into the comedy show, you know, with Spike, you know, we shoot 10 pages at the most a day, and we shoot one episode a week, and, you know, we have a little – the good part about that is that we have a little more freedom to take chances and make different choices for the character and, you know, really kind of make some fun, exciting choices for the character so that, you know, the performance is 10 times better, you know what I mean, or funnier or whatever. And I love comedy. You know, I mean, in my acting class, I was always doing comedy just because it kind of comes naturally to me. I just love it. I have good comedic timing and stuff like that. But it's just, it's fun. You know what I mean? Because we could just do whatever we want. And literally Spike is letting us do whatever we want, literally with the storylines. But it's a good, you know, it's a good transition for me. I mean, it's just great because it's, you know, everybody's professional on the set too. And we get to sort of develop characters a little more, which I love.
And we're talking to Darren Brooks, plays Alex Moran on Blue Mountain State, which airs on Spike TV Wednesdays at 11 p.m. Now, speaking of, you said that Spike TV allows you guys to do a lot of different crazy things. And one crazy thing that I saw on the show was a few guys run across the field with a cookie in your butt.
Yeah, that's hazing. It's called hazing. Look it up. No, that's the name of the episode. Yeah, we get away with a lot of crazy stuff on this show. I mean, the fact that Spike lets us do it is pretty insane, number one. But number two, I guess it's perfect for the, you know, 18 to 34 male demographic that we come in number one at, you know, most of the time. But there's a lot of stuff. I mean, we have the hazing, the cookie in the ass in the first episode of the whole show, and we have an episode with Thad in his pocket pussy, and somebody steals his sex toy, and everybody on the team uses it and gets syphilis. Then there's Cloris Leachman, you know, guest cameos last year from Cloris Leachman, giving the football team hand jobs in movie theaters because she just wants to be loved, and her son, our professor, is failing the football team, and he's a dick, and we got to get back at him, you know what I mean?
Right.
And Curtis Armstrong, you know, Denise Richards, like, we have so many good people, you know, trying to, willing to guest star on our show and have a good time. And it's pretty crazy. It's pretty wild out there. You know, it might not be for children, but, if you know any college kids or guys who just want to reminisce about their college days, then watch the show.
Well, how was it running with a cookie in your butt?
You don't pull any punches, do you? No, it wasn't that bad. You know, to be honest with you, we were all having such a good time. Like, that was one of the last days of shooting we did, and for the pilot, at least. We were game for it. Like, a bunch of us were like, you know, we were just like, let's just do it. Just get us some cookies and let's do it. You know, afterwards, we didn't eat the real cookie from our butt. But
I will hope not.
Props had some, they had some cookies that they melted in like an oven that kind of looked like they were sitting in our butt cheeks, you know, after the afterwards. But it was fun. You know, I mean, we were all game for it. Like, you know, Romanski, Alan Richson, you know, Sam Jones, everybody in the first season, we were just really just balls to the wall excited just to work there. You know what I mean? And
right.
We became like a big family and a big frat house. So whenever something was written, we were game to do it. You know what I mean?
So is it almost exciting to see what's next? I mean, how far you can push the envelope?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this season we have a lot of stuff. I mean, Denise Richards comes on as the coach's ex-wife, the coach's hot ex-wife. And, in one of the episodes, I get to have sex with her, but she's using me for sex to get back at her ex-husband, the coach, Ed Marinaro. And then the episode kind of unfolds there, you know. But there's a lot of good stories. I mean, we have some really fun stuff, a lot of good guest cameos and stuff like that. But, you know, hopefully, you know, by the end of the year, we'll have 6 or 7 episodes out in the air. I think we already have 3 or 4 out for the second season that's already aired, but you can check everything out on Spike.com. Hopefully by the end of the year we get a pickup and, the writers and the producers and all of us, you know, we get in the room and start talking about ideas for next season or something like that, you know, and get back up to Montreal and shoot next summer season 3.
And how is it shooting in Montreal?
Oh, God, it's beautiful. Beautiful city, I'm telling you. It's like, I like to describe it as like Canada's France. They all speak French there, everybody's just really cool, really nice people, you know, good food, you know, just good-looking people, too. I mean, it's just great, you know what I mean? It's just a great city to be in, and everybody's so nice, and the crew up there, the crew that helped us out was fantastic, and it was just great, you know. In the summertime, it's beautiful, it's like 80 degrees, it's like L.A. weather, you know what I mean? In the summer, it's like that. In the winter, it's negative 30.
Right, it's probably not too good to be out.
Yeah, but, you know, hey, if we get to shoot 3 months in the summer out there and then have 9 months off to do other things, I'm game for it. It's a great place.
Now, Darren, you have a short film coming out called Spotlight. Tell the audience a little bit about that film.
Well, that's actually, it's a short film by, ooh, dang it. Why is his name... His name is escaping me right now.
Peter Paul Beiser?
Yes, Peter. I'm sorry, Peter, if you're listening. Peter Paul Weiser. He wrote it and he directed it and stuff like that. It's just a little short about a sort of over the hill bodyguard, you know, who sort of gets this last minute job to protect this girl because she has, you know, this actress because she's a star and she's being stalked by somebody. And I'm playing the sort of over the top eccentric boyfriend to her. but you don't know if he's kind of gay or not. I kind of took the fad route, you know, and made a choice just to kind of make him, real, just over the top funny and crazy and, you know, very sensitive and stuff like that. But it's kind of fun. It's just a little short that, hopefully we can turn into something, you know, a little, down the road, maybe a full length feature or something. But, this bodyguard has to protect this actress from this possible stalker who could be closer than you think to her. It's a fun little short that we shot and we did that last year, and we're just waiting to see what's going on. I got to call Peter and find out what's going on.
Now, at some point, do you see a possible return to the soaps at any point in your career? Would you be open to something like that?
I mean, you never know. I mean, I wouldn't write it off. Dave has been so good to me, and the fact that they let me even come out and do this, I mean, you know, I owe them a lot. So, I mean, last year I went back and did a couple episodes. You know, this year, who knows if they call me last minute and say, hey, we got a couple episodes to shoot, you know, would you like to come back and I'm not doing anything? I'd be like, sure, yeah. I love them over there. You know, I mean, they're good people, and it's always fun to go back and see, you know, my first family, so.
And now Blue Mountain State Season 1 has been released on DVD, was released on October 5th.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we're in the second season of Blue Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you see this show going?
Hopefully we go, you know, at least four seasons. I mean, that would be sort of a college
try, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. You know, a college term and stuff, you know. But, we'll see. I mean, because we never really establish, you know, when and where and all that kind of stuff. So as long as we keep looking as young as we do and you know, we could probably do hopefully, you know, six seasons. Who knows? You know what I mean? But it's just such a fun show that if people haven't watched it yet, you know, and you want to see something that really kind of pushes the envelope and it's crazy and just doesn't pull any punches and, you know what I mean? Like, it's just off the wall. Like, you can't even fathom, like, some of the stuff that we do, but also, like, you can't even believe that we got away with it.
Right.
You know, for some people who just want to see an exciting show that really is nothing like anything on TV right now, then they should check out the show for sure.
The show is Blue Mountain State, and it airs Wednesdays at 11 p.m. on Spike TV. Darren, we definitely thank you for stopping by, sir. We would love to have you back in the future.
Of course.
Hopefully talk more about this show.
Yeah, thank you so much. No, yeah, I appreciate it, Paul. I mean, this is great, man.
Darren, we appreciate it, sir.
Okay. Talk to you soon.
And good luck with the show.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right.
Darren Brooks, actor on Blue Mountain State, which again airs on Spike TV Wednesdays at 11 p.m. Check it out. Funny show. It definitely pushed the envelope there. And it's a show that's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. And so definitely check it out. The numbers to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgan. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgan. You can send email messages to the show at goforward.gant@gmail.com. That's goforward.gant@gmail.com. Now, I want to go to the NFL now. We got about another 5-6 minutes left in the show. Interesting game coming up between the Raiders and the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend. And I look at that game, and at the beginning of the year, you said to yourself, the Raiders would be 4-4 and the Chiefs would be 5-2. You probably were saying that I'm lying. You probably would be saying that I am lying to you. But if you look at it right now, those are the top two teams in the AFC West. Chiefs at 5-2. Surprising all of us. Definitely surprising me. I'm not a big fan of Matt Cassel. Coming into the season, I'm still not sold on Matt Cassel, the Chiefs starting quarterback, as a guy who can take you to where you want to go. Right now, if you look at the Chiefs, they are 32nd in passing. So maybe there is some credence to what I'm saying. But if you look at this whole thing, and if you look at this whole situation, and both of these teams, the Chiefs and the Raiders have been playing some good football of late. This is a team that the last 2 weeks have outscored their opponent 92-13. This is the Raiders we're talking about. These are the Oakland Raiders we're talking about. A 59-14 route over the Denver Broncos 2 weeks ago. And then last week, a 33-3 stomp of the Seattle Seahawks. So if you look at this Raider team, they're coming on. Maybe these guys are starting to put it together. Maybe Jason Campbell is the answer. He did throw for over 300 yards last week. Maybe he is the answer for the Oakland Raiders. Just maybe. I have my doubts, but just maybe he's the answer. I mean, the Raiders, if you look at them, are 4-4. And you can sit here and tell me that the Chiefs are a better football team than the Raiders. I'm not sold on these Chiefs. At some point, they may make the playoffs. They are 5-2. They're not playing in a good division. So they could make the playoffs. But in terms of progressing in these playoffs, when Matt Cassel is the quarterback, it's not happening. It's not happening. It's not happening. I'll be shocked, amazed, if it does happen. Shocked and amazed if it did happen. Shocked. But it's definitely a game that, when you looked on the schedule to start the year, a game that you would thought that you would think would not mean much. You would think it wouldn't mean much. But the Raiders have been playing well and getting some key contributions. Darren McFadden stepping up his play. Jason Campbell, of course, stepping up his play. And the Chiefs, they're led by their running game. Jamaal Charles, Thomas Jones. Those are the guys who are getting it done for the Chiefs. And Kansas City in the last three games has rushed for 228 yards or more in those last three games. In their last three games. So, this is a team that's going to run the ball. And a team that has been very successful at running the ball. So, it should be an interesting game tomorrow. It should be definitely an interesting game tomorrow. But it's a game that, if you looked at it, the start to your game that you would have thought would have meant nothing. You would have thought it would not have meant nothing. But it's meaning something. It's meaning something. It's for supremacy in the AFC West. That is supremacy in the AFC West. So it was a game that many thought would not mean anything. And by golly, it's meaning something. It's meaning a whole heck of a lot. It's meaning something. So it definitely should be interesting to see what happens there tomorrow in Oakland, 4:15. Supremacy in the AFC West, even though the Kansas City Chiefs are a game and a half over the Raiders, this is a game for supremacy there. This is a game for supremacy. This is definitely a game for supremacy in the AFC West. The Raiders have played one more game more than the Chiefs, and that's why the Chiefs are 5-2 and the Raiders are 4-4. And it should be very interesting to see what happens in that football game. We want to thank Darren Brooks for stopping by. Darren plays Alex Moran on Blue Mountain State, which airs Wednesdays on Spike TV at 11 p.m. So make sure you go and check him out there. And It's a good show, interesting show, and a funny show, and a show that pushes the envelope a little bit, but a show that is very funny in some respect. So make sure you check it out and support Darren there. And I want to thank everybody who listened. I want to thank everybody who called. And again, you can listen to this show and other shows at blogtalkradio.com/pgan. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgan, where you can listen to this show and other shows. I want to thank everybody for listening, and make sure you follow the show on Twitter at GoForItGan. And make sure you follow us there at Twitter/GoForItGan.